Yeah.
Thank you, Christopher. There's a lot to unpack there, actually, yeah. I feel like. If you didn't listen to yesterday's show, I told the story how I spent $7,000 on back surgery for my dachshund many years ago. Not many years ago, several years ago now. And Kaplan was like, there's a line, you know? Like, right. There's a line for you. And that's fine. Like, you know, but Laura and I and Lindsay all had the same reaction, as you heard. We all went, wow.
Yeah, not just you guys. You heard about the lady that sent an email.
An email to the
boss. She wants me canceled.
Wait, really? I didn't know it was that. It went that far.
Oh, no. Total cancellation. How dare he hypothetically say that should there be a $7,000 back surgery bill for his dog, how dare he say in a hypothetical that he would rather put the money into his children than his dog? I demand that he be canceled from 710.
She didn't say it like that, though.
Exactly like that. Precisely. It was my mom who wrote the email, actually. So,
yes. Yes. Yeah. That is funny, though. Like, come on. Like, stop. Like, there were people who agreed with you.
Yeah.
I'm a feminist. I got a lot of messages saying that I should not demand you doing anything for your Frenchie because your ex-wife owns 80% of it. And I am the typical LA girl for demanding that.
There you go. See, Laura took some heat, too. Yeah. There you go.
Pay the bill, bro.
You didn't take heat from earlier in the week looking for a sugar daddy for your new apartment?
Well, I'm not looking for a sugar daddy. I just got weird messages on.
Yeah, you got Lindsay was right. You got the bots going.
Yeah, it was weird. I didn't even know that was a thing. But
the bots nest.
Yeah, porn bots.
So yeah. So there was that. But like, so Lindsay, let me ask you this. Were you listening to Travis and Sliwa today?
Today I did not listen to Travis and Sliwa. Not going to lie.
Oh, you don't okay, know what you
did,
missed.
Laura, did you listen to Travis and Sliwa today?
A little bit, because I was here early.
Okay, so I kind of know a little bit, because I've been kind of sort of been told in pieces that Sliwa got really mad at people who were like, you know, at the Kings for making fun of, because we talked about that story yesterday, that they played the song Cold as Ice, and that Sliwa didn't, you know. Now, I heard him today. He got upset, is what people said. Now, I didn't hear him upset. I didn't hear him upset. I caught on my drive back from the airport from LAX earlier this morning. I heard him say, it's just not my style, you know, and it's like, okay, I mean, I get that, but it's still funny. Like, I actually
totally
think
funny.
And Travis was with you and me, like, you know, I actually think the league stepping in is silly. Like, what are you doing? Like, who cares?
Right. Like, you have to protect the guy from going ice cold.
Right. And I told you the story how Mark Cuban used to go over after Shaq's weight all the time. And the league never said anything back then.
Yeah. Fat shamed him.
Yeah, seriously.
Right,
and,
bullying.
But by the way, much like Russell Westbrook, who took it in stride, Shaq used to always take that stuff in stride, too.
Chuck, you see what Mark Cuban said about me, Chuck? Hey, Chuck, you see that? Hey, Chuck.
Your Shaq sounds like he's 87 years old.
No, he always, like, every time
like
Chuck.
Grandpa.
Every time he wants to talk to Chuck, hey, Chuck, you hear that about Mark Cuban about me? Like, what?
You made him a little younger. He's probably like 75 now on that second attempt.
All right, I'll try and make him a little younger as the day goes on.
Yeah. He was like 87 the first time around. You definitely made him your grandpa who can't find his glasses anymore.
Hey,
like
Sedano. You hear Sedano say, Chuck? You hear that?
So.
A check.
Yes. So, not really, but close enough.
Is that a terrible shot?
It was
Shaq?
Not good. Yeah.
Really?
Lindsay, good,
awful.
Not good. What would you grade that Shaq, actually?
Yeah, that's like a D+.
Yeah, I would agree. Laura?
Really?
What Kaplan, Shaq?
Why are you being nice? That's an F.
Oh my God.
It's a fail, dude?
Yeah. I mean, a D plus isn't like a pass either. Let's not be real here. So.
She was being nice. Laura, she really wanted to say F.
Laura, you want to know? I got a new phrase that I'm using now that my kids have been using.
Oh, God.
And I'm gonna start using it when you give me an F like that. You ready?
Go. Uh-huh.
Come on, girl. Put some respect on my name.
That's not new?
Yeah, it's brand new. It just happened.
It's
brand new. Yeah, it just got to me. I just found out about it.
That is exactly why they don't put no respect on your name.
Hey, Chuck, you hear that? You hear that talking about respect on my name?
I mean, literally 5 years ago called, and they want their phrase back, basically.
Is that right?
Yes.
Really? Well, it took a long time to filter all the way down to me, you know?
I mean, I'm pretty sure that phrase was very, very in, like, vogue because... Birdman had a song with it in his in the lyrics, right? Put some respect on my name, or respect on my name. I think
see the difference. Yeah, so yes, mine's respect.
It is a difference.
Yeah, yeah, respect.
Yeah. So yeah, it was. Yeah, I want to say that's at least 5 years old. Welcome,
well,
by the way, to
well,
20,
thank you.
2017 or 16.
Well, to me, it's brand new, and to me, yeah. it's really cool and hip and contemporary. To me.
You're Sedano over there.
Oh my god!
Hey, let us know when you discover the phrase or the word gnarly. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No, no, I'm in on gnarly. I've been in on gnarly.
Okay.
Been in
okay.
on it. Yeah.
Okay. So let me get back to Sliwa here. So I was listening to them this when I was driving back from LAX, and Sliwa was just like, he was just like down on the Kings, and you know, Travis was kind of like, yeah, but they're the Kings. They should be trolling like the Lakers. You know what I mean? Like because he was like, well, the Lakers wouldn't do that, and I was like, of course the Lakers wouldn't do that. Travis
right.
said, which I agree with. The Yankees. And the Lakers and like teams like that are not going to be the ones trolling. They're at the top of the mountain.
Right. No, it's the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Sacramento Kings.
Or
those
by the way,
the, teams.
The LA Chargers have a great social media account.
I'm so glad you said that. I wish you would have said San Diego, but you're exactly right. It's for garbage teams like Jacksonville or the Chargers or the Kings. It's for garbage franchises to say, well, we're not going to win a lot of games, so we might as well have some fun at our opponent's expense, especially when Russ is struggling the way he is. George, they were going after him before the game even started.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And that's what they should do. You should be poking the bear if you're the Sacramento Kings. Like, I don't think that that's like this huge deal. Like, you and I talked about it yesterday. We kind of agreed, and we kind of just kept it moving. I didn't think anyone would disagree. But, like, I didn't realize Slee was going to come here with, like, his purple and gold cape and just, like, fly around Crypto.com Arena and LA Live to have to defend Russell Westbrook and the Lakers. I didn't realize this was a thing.
All he wants, Slee, and to his credit, I'll give him the credit on this, he just wants the Sacramento Kings to put some respect on Russ's name.
For the love of God.
Feel me?
This guy.
Feel me?
No, I don't feel you, actually.
You're not feeling
yes.
that at
no,
all? Really?
I'm not feeling
see the
that.
Way I said respect rather
yes,
than respect?
Yes. See? Thank you, Birdman. Appreciate it.
Just
but
like you say wilding instead of wowing.
Yeah. So, real quick. Now, Laura, like, was he, but I didn't hear him mad. Like, Chris just said he was mad. I didn't hear
angry.
That in my drive. Laura, Bert. Was he mad?
He seemed a little bit upset about the situation. I don't know if he was like really mad or he was just playing it for the bit, but he was not happy.
Oh,
I'm trying
to
find
plays
audio.
Anything for
cuz my sources told me that he went after Taylor the board op on the show
really?
Because it was revealed
the ice thing.
Yeah, it was revealed that Taylor is a Kings fan. And I heard there were veiled threats made on the air like, "Oh, if you want to succeed in LA, you
so
better
that
not
was, sorry,
be a Kings fan."
See, that was not today but yesterday.
Okay.
So yesterday he was upset because Taylor kept dropping in the ice song.
Okay.
And
so that's funny though. That's funny.
I will find audio.
And the more it pisses Sliwa off, the better. That's actually very funny.
That is funny. And look,
I mean,
man.
Hey, Sliwa, man. Come on, dude. Take heed. I'm a lyrical poet. Miami's on the scene just in case you didn't know it. I mean, come on, Sliwa. Ice, baby,
oh
baby.
Oh, God.
What's up, Linz?
Who are you? Like, seriously.
Dropping vanilla ice.
Who are you? Like, you went from you went from learning, put some respect on my name 5 minutes ago, a thing that's 5 years old, to like now going back to 1992 with Rob Van Winkle or whatever his name is.
Yeah. Vanilla
is that his real name, Rob Van Winkle?
Ice, baby. That's his name.
No, Vanilla Ice. What's his real name?
Vanilla Ice, yeah.
It's not Vanilla. That is not his actual
name. No, it's not? Okay, no. I think you got it. I think you nailed it.
Yes. Rob Van Winkle. Yes, that is his
name. What a nerdy real name, too, for a rapper.
Yo, but for a minute, he was huge.
Dude, he was a monster.
For a minute, he was huge, okay? Let's not get it twisted. He was huge. And then Suge Knight allegedly, you know, hung him off a balcony. You know, and that, there went that. But
I don't know if that's allegedly. I saw it in a movie, didn't I?
I mean, I don't know if it's true or not, man. I'm just saying allegedly. I always stick to that because I don't, you know, I cover myself in that situation.
Oh, I thought I saw the movie.
But yeah, I was, so I heard, so Laura, what you're saying is I heard the tame version of Sliwa on day two?
Certainly sounds
I'll
that
take
way.
That as a yes. Okay.
Certainly sounds
she's,
that way,
she's
George.
She's searching for something.
Apparently.
Yeah, I heard the conversation yesterday.
Sorry, guys.
I love how Sliwa. Now, do you think if Sliwa was like the Lakers superhero, you know, like is that the cape? The cape has got to be purple and gold, right? Like, of course, yes.
I think he's gone, like, now he's so much more of a Laker defender than ever before. Because, you know, he did fill in on one of the Laker radio broadcasts one night, George.
He
you
did?
Know that over the holidays.
Good for him!
Yeah. So over the holidays, the Lakers actually said, hey, look, you know, everybody's down and out with COVID. Sliwa, you healthy? He's like, yeah. They're like, you want to do the game? He's like, really? Yeah. So now that Sliwa has actually done the game for the Lakers, in addition to being an expert panelist on Spectrum Sports on television, I think he's really taking the defense of the Lakers to another level. In which case, if Sliwa was so upset about it, we really ought to fly him up to Sacramento, go find the in-game presentation
yeah.
person
yeah.
at
Take it
the
out
iPay
on
One Center. I think yeah. that's what it's called. Is that yeah. iPay, PayOne, PayPal?
No, Golden One Center.
That's what it's called.
Yes.
And Sliwa should go kick his
iPay?
Ass.
iPay? Where did you get that from?
I don't know. I thought it was Pay, Golden Pay somebody. Pay me.
Yeah.
Sliwa, kick some ass, man. Take that yeah. from the Sacramento Kings.
And
Sacramento Kings,
yeah.
you're going to disrespect the Lakers?
Yeah, put some respect on their name, right?
Yeah, that's a cool phrase, by the way. Nice job. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Seriously, Sliwa, do something.
Yeah, so anyhow, because I had heard all this stuff, and then I listened today, and I didn't get that sense, and I thought these people were lying to me.
You know, I'd like to make a suggestion to the to the Travis and Sliwa show.
What's that?
Why don't you guys get on the guy from the Kings, who's the in-house entertainment
guy. Yeah, see
if
he'll come on and yeah. defend himself.
And tell him. Say, hey, pal, I got a problem with you.
Pick a bone with him.
Right. Right. How dare you do that to us? We're the Lakers.
Yeah.
That's Russell Westbrook.
You're the Kings.
Right. And I know we wanted Buddy Hield, and we probably should have Buddy Hield, and yeah. we'd probably be a lot better with Buddy Hield, yeah. but yeah. we're the Lakers.
Yeah.
You're the Sacramento freaking Kings.
Yeah.
You'd be trolling us.
Yeah. Now, we have the Taylor audio that upset Sliwa, allegedly upset Sliwa. I don't know. I have to say allegedly because I don't know if this is true. Like, I didn't hear an upset Sliwa. I just heard I would call it a disappointed Sliwa is what I heard today. Now, this is the day before. This is yesterday's audio, correct,
yeah,
Laura?
This is a rejoin. And you know Morales plays his magic in there, but this
yeah,
is
he does. Morales does like to poke the bear, you know? Mm-hmm, and, mm-hmm. you know, why are we poking the Sliwa bear? Like, why is that necessary, Morales? Like, you know, like, come on. What's wrong with you? All right, let me hear this. I love how Morales weaved himself into the conversation
right.
as well. Like that's always funny.
Oh, Jared Goff.
I mean, Marcellus Wiley, who, you know, we don't know his whereabouts anymore. I mean, I've seen him on milk cartons. I mean, God bless him, you know. But
that dude.
You know, used to be, you know, he was the biggest anti-hero here. He was like a Clipper fan, which right. I would imagine, Laura, I mean, you're the biggest Laker fan on this show. Like, you know, Marcellus Wiley being a Clipper fan has got to be way worse than being a Kings fan, no? To a Laker fan, yes?
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Kings fan? There are no Kings fans.
Well, I mean, Taylor.
I mean, there's one.
He's weird.
There's,
that.
I mean,
there's
you just
one
gotta
guy.
Feel sorry for him. Like you can't be mad at
yes.
him for being a
right.
Kings
right. I
fan.
Feel bad for Taylor. Yes. He doesn't need any more beating up at that point.
He I mean, really said I didn't have anyone to root for, so that's who I went with. Like that's so sad.
That is horrible.
That is,
yeah.
really
that is unfortunate.
Sad.
And he grew up here?
No.
No, he grew up in
the Midwest.
Iowa.
Like,
he lived somewhere.
Oh,
during
well, there was no basketball
years.
Team.
Yeah, there wasn't a basketball team.
Now, was did you become like a fan during the Chris Webber years?
Yes.
Like, I need to know
yes,
more
exactly.
about
yes, that. Yes.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yes.
When
100%.
Donaghy, well, those fans hate Donaghy. Woo, good Lord.
Yeah, that's exactly why he's
the Tim Donaghy scandal. Listen, they'll never forget that when you talk to those people up there. They seethe the minute you say his name. Because of that series against the Lakers. But anyway. All right. Well, I guess then that solves it because I was going to say we should get Taylor on to defend himself. But I mean, if you're
really Sliwa should chill out, man. I mean, come on,
Sliwa. I mean, he's a little wound tight. This Lakers losing streak is clearly getting
to
him.
But did you hear the way, hey, that is not smart for somebody in this industry, in this town. Like what's going to happen, Sliwa? GD Buss going to call over to the radio station and go, hey, I didn't like it when the Kings trolled Russ. I don't need our hometown radio station trolling Russ. And what was Sliwa?
Yeah, I don't
think
they care enough.
No, I don't. I think they also have a sense of humor.
No, I also think they don't care about it.
Right.
Like, if Russ didn't care, then they don't care. That's kind of the reality.
I mean, lighten up, Sliwa.
That should be a new bit for them. Instead of just ask Sliwa, they should do a segment called Lighten Up, Sliwa.
Yeah, it's a good idea.
There you go. That one's free of charge.
And we gave them the other idea, which is book the guy from the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
There's two very solid ideas.
Get to work, Emily. We got it for you. There you go. All right. Coming up next, it's time to talk about pressure. Oh, there's lots of pressure on Super Wild Card Weekend, by the way. That's what they're calling it now, Super Wild Card Weekend. So we'll get to that. Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay, both got the pressure on their chest at the moment. Can they get it off their chest with a big W? We'll get into that on the other side.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Why don't they just let me live? Tell me why. I don't need permission. Make my own decision.
Oh, that's my prerogative.
We are so off.
They say I'm crazy. I really don't care.
That's my prerogative.
They say I'm nasty.
I really think I'm good.
But I don't give a damn. I don't know the next sentence in the song. So Jam Bobby Brown right was here. Performing in Vegas on New Year's Eve. I saw that as I was flipping around channels on New Year's Eve because I'm an old person. And, you know, I don't actually do anything on New Year's Eve anymore. But I was also exhausted because I was on that ridiculous trip trying to get back home from San Antonio.
Dude, let me tell you something. Your Instagram of your travel, you know, your planes, trains, and automobiles kind of moment trying to travel around the country doing NBA games. I'm not joking, dude. I canceled my trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, I know. You know why I know? Because you sent the same message three different times to me in three different ways.
Yeah, well.
Let me ask you a question.
Go ahead.
How hammered were you when you sent me each one of those messages repeated three times over a span of, like, 24 hours?
I don't know. That's a good question. Was it was all on different platforms, like text,
No,
Instagram?
It was all on Instagram.
It was?
You sent me, well, no, actually, one was on text and two were on Instagram.
Yeah. But I swear to you, dude.
It's so funny. Like, the third one, I was just like, I was so annoyed, I didn't want to talk to anybody. Like, I was just trying to get home. And by the third time you sent me, I literally was going to write back to you, like, I get it, bro. You've already said it three times.
Dude, I'm telling you, I watched your Instagram. You can't get from here to there. Flights are canceled. I'm trying to go to this town to get back to this place. I was like, I'm not going to Atlanta because I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get stuck in Atlanta. And then I'm not going to get back, and everybody's going to be mad at me because, you know, I screwed up the whole
ski trip.
You were
going to miss your own vacation.
Right. So I was like, I'm not going to Atlanta. I'm not getting caught up there like George Sedano.
Yeah, you weren't worried about us. You were worried about Rachel.
Yeah, oh, God, for sure. I was petrified.
Yeah.
Her and my daughter, the two of them. I was like, if I go down to Atlanta and I get stuck and flights get canceled and whatever else, they're going to kill me. So I didn't want them to be mad at me. So I was like, you know what? I'm following Sedano's advice. I'm not traveling, not during the holidays. Too many flights being canceled.
Yeah, it was nuts. Anyway, but Bobby Brown, I love that album right there was so good.
My prerogative.
Good. Yeah. I remember going on a vacation with my parents. They saved, I was a kid. You know, they saved up a ton of money. My parents used to, like, cut coupons, like, literally to, like, save extra money to go on, like, nice vacations, mm-hmm. which, you know, honestly is, like, a hell of a way to teach a kid the value of money, to be honest with you. You know what I mean? Like, I actually thought that was pretty admirable. My wife cuts coupons still to this day.
You mean like for the grocery store
Sunday,
kind of
coupons? The Sunday paper. Like, we get like the LA Times on Sunday and she cuts coupons.
Dude,
she saves
a lot
something. Of money.
George, people who know how to coupon, and it is an art form, if you will.
Yeah.
People who know how to coupon, they could show you, hey, I go into the store, I buy $300 worth of stuff. But because I use the coupons, I just walked out of the store. I spent 65 cents. I mean, seriously.
Yeah,
people who know how to coupon, those are the people that are enjoying beating the system.
Yeah.
I want to be one of those people.
That's extreme couponing. And let me tell you, that's a lot of work. It's almost
it,
like
it
a
is full-time
a lot of work. Job.
Yeah. Yeah, it is a lot of work. But the so what I was going to say was we went to like Costa Rica when I was a kid, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we had like the tour guide taking us to a bunch of stuff. It was a young guy. It was probably like his early 20s. I was like, I don't know, maybe like 11 or 12 or whatever. So I would ride in the front with him driving, and he had a cassette tape, and I had a Walkman back then. Like, I had saved up money, like, cutting grass to buy a Walkman. And he's like, what are you listening to? And I said, oh, Bobby Brown. Are you familiar? He's like, yeah, I kind of know Bobby Brown. He's like, is that his album? I'm like, yeah. So we played it the whole time, and I let him keep it. I was like, yeah, wow, man, you can have it.
What a guy.
Yeah.
What a
always
guy.
Always been very altruistic in that sense.
Very nice.
Anyway, altruistic is a great way to describe, probably a nice way to describe Matthew Stafford with all the interceptions this season. However, all that stuff's got to stop now. Right? Like, at the, you know, this is when, you know, the regular season counts to an extent. We sit here, we yammer for 17, 18 weeks, whatever it is. But really now is the time where we really make these micro-aggressive commentary when it comes to people's livelihoods in the National Football League. Is that a good way to describe
micro-aggressive.
It?
Micro-aggressive. I like that phrase. Yeah. That's very good. Yeah, because the whole country today seems to be having the exact same conversation. Who has more pressure going into the Super Wild Card weekend? And the reason it's funny to me and relevant at the same time is because when you really look at the playoff games this weekend, George, you know, there is a ton of pressure on Matthew Stafford, on Sean McVay, on the Rams franchise. Yeah. There is a ton of
Stafford,
pressure.
More Stafford than anyone else, I would say, if I had to pick somebody.
I kind of feel like there's a lot on McVay, too. I think there's a lot on Les Snead. I think there's a lot on the Rams. But
yeah, I mean, there is some, but I don't think again, we're going to argue semantics, but I would say not a lot. Like,
but they're tied together, you know?
Right, they are. But those guys have been to a Super Bowl. Like, Matthew Stafford hasn't won a playoff game, right?
Fair enough. Yeah. But you see, but listen, as much as we think that there's a ton of pressure on the Rams, and I think that there is, and by the way, Sean McVay will try and say, no, there's not a lot
of
pressure.
What is he supposed to say?
Right, of course. And Matthew Stafford will say, no, I'm proving myself every time I go out there. Believe the exact opposite of what these guys are saying in these moments. Mm-hmm. But it's not just the Rams, George. You think Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys have
pressure?
Oh, yeah,
they have pressure too, for sure.
Tons, right.
Yeah. Well, I would argue, the Cowboys. They are the Cowboys. Right, and the Niners are a long-standing rival.
I would argue that the Raiders, Derek Carr in particular, who has never played in a playoff game, he's a 0-0 in the playoffs, and he's led one team to the playoffs, and he didn't play because he was hurt.
Right.
You don't think Derek Carr's got some serious pressure going into these playoffs?
I don't, actually. I don't.
Really?
Because I feel like the Raiders are playing with house money a little bit.
See, I feel like the Steelers are playing with house money.
I mean, well, yeah, because they literally backed in. But, like, I think the Raiders are playing with a little bit of house money because, I mean, they were 6-7, man, at one point. them being here and playing their way in was actually kind of cool, you know, having won 4 in a row.
It was a great story. But remember, they were 3-0, and people were talking about Derek Carr in the early part of the season. I know it's a long ways back. MVP, this could be his year.
Right, but look at all the things that happened in between. Like, any other team would have completely unraveled.
But here's what Raider fans are thinking, though. I tell you this right now. Raider fans are saying this. They want to love Derek Carr. They want to believe in Derek Carr. They do for right now.
He seems he's grown as a leader for sure.
Raider Nation, not just of the team, of the nation. But they all know the facts. Hasn't been to one, hasn't played in one. This is his first chance. He's been a starter for a long time in this league. Lots of turnover at head coach, general manager, offensive coordinator, roster. He's been the constant. So now it's time for Derek Carr to win a playoff game.
Okay, but here's the thing. The Raiders have been to one playoff game since 2003.
Amazing.
Was the year that Derek Carr led them there with Jack Del Rio, your boy. And he didn't play because, as you mentioned, he was hurt. So if you have to think about that, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 years.
No, there's got to be something
wrong in there. One playoff appearance.
Oh, 19 years. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just feel like Derek Carr has led this team this far, and to get bounced in the first round.
No, Cap. They've been to the playoffs once in 19 years, man.
I got it.
This is like Knicks fans who last year they surprised everyone. They were like these darlings or whatever. And I remember like when the show was called The Jump, we were doing like over-unders. And I was like, oh, the Knicks 43.5 under. And I'm like, Vegas is already telling you they're going to be a 500 team with that. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, under. And they are. They're bad. They're not even in the play-in. Like, so what I'm saying is, and what I've said to Knicks fans on Twitter is what I would say to Raiders fans right now. Yo, you've had a rough go of it. Just enjoy the ride for a minute. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just enjoy the ride for a little while.
It's been so long.
That's good advice for anyone, regardless of what it's about. Like, sometimes I understand we all want to be great and we all want everything to be perfect. And, you know, I get it, like in life. But sometimes just sit back, take a breath, look around and go, hey, this moment now is kind of cool. Let me just enjoy it for a second.
Well, I would say,
in general, we don't do enough of that.
I would say Raider fans are thinking to themselves, it's been so long since we've been here. Who knows when we're going to get back here? This is Derek Carr's first playoff game. Derek Carr, win the playoff game. Hard to enjoy it. I want more. I want more than just super wild card weekend.
Okay.
So all listen, right. I think the Rams as an organization have a ton of pressure on them.
Stafford is the one seed, though.
Stafford is there. Dak Prescott with the contract he got.
But who's the one seed?
In terms of players?
Yeah.
I think Stafford. And I think Stafford and Dak Prescott are kind of right there with two guys that the world is looking at saying, hey, Stafford, they got rid of Goff. They had to have you. And they're looking at Dak and they're going, you got hurt and they gave you a boatload of money and you play in a weak division. I think there's a lot of pressure on both of these two individual guys. Those are my top two.
There are, but my one seed would be Stafford. Speaking of pressure, the pressure is mounting on Russell Westbrook, and he has spoken to one single reporter about this season. We'll tell you what Russ had to say and how he's talking about sacrifice. Talk about sacrifice. We'll divulge what he said in a moment. We'll be back in 3 minutes.
I hate him.
Oh, Laura. That's so funny.
It's such a good song, though.
Do they still shout? Do they still do love dedications on FM stations?
I haven't heard them in a long time.
That used to be a big deal, like on those night shows.
Totally.
Remember like the Art LeBeau show? Be like, I want to dedicate, you know, give a shout out to my man who's locked up, Smiley.
Yo, every night show on an FM station in America used to play like slow jams at like 9 or 10 o'clock at night.
Mm-hmm.
And they would do the dedication hour and you'd have people calling in and shouting them out. It was, I would totally go back to that. I would totally. I would love to do that.
We should do it.
Oh, we should do that. We should do like a fake version of that one day.
We should do shout outs. We should totally do that.
Just do like long, like dedications. Yes.
Just want to give
them. You mean to tell me that LL Cool J.
Here's the thing. I got the day. Valentine's Day. That's the day we're doing it.
That's a good one. Yeah,
that's the day we're doing it. Yes. So a month from today, when is Valentine's Day? Is it during the week? Yes, it's on a Monday.
It's a Monday.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Very nice.
There we go.
So wait a second. So LL Cool J, how old is he today?
LL Cool J is 53, I think.
He's still fine.
54.
He looks exactly the same. He hasn't aged at all.
So good looking.
LL Cool J, though, if you didn't know how old he was, wouldn't you think he's older because he's been in your life for the last 30 years?
Yeah, he was basically a teenager. Yeah.
Him and Mario Lopez look exactly the same as they did like 30 years ago.
Ooh, yeah. That's another good one.
Yeah, they've got, they've got good genes.
Uh-huh.
Laura, I don't know if the people in the audience heard her when she gave an extra for like LL Cool J.
He's still fine as hell.
He is fine as hell. Mm.
He is a good looking man. Mm-hmm. He is definitely good. There's so many songs with LL Cool J though, but I feel like, LL Cool J, 80s LL Cool J, like straight up to like Mama Said Knock You Out in like 1990. I feel like that's like peak LL Cool J.
His biggest song was Doing It for sure.
That's true. That is true. And that's like mid 90s. Mm. So yeah. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. So I'll extend it for a 10 year run of like 85 to 95 of like peak LL. Yeah. Doing it. I mean, that song back in the day. You put that song on in a club or a bar, and you know there was a lot of bumping and grinding going on.
Dude, 85. If that was the year, if it was 85.
No, 85 was not doing it well. That was 95. Well,
no, but whatever year it was, I mean, where you say where he became, you know, kind of on the scene, 85.
Yeah, so 85 is like Rock the Bells.
Right. So we're talking 37 years. So now 37 years later, okay, and he's only 53 or 54. That just gives you an idea. Like, if you would have said to me, how old's LL Cool J? I'd be like, I know he's still ripped and he's still looking really good, but he got to be like 72, 73 years old, you know? And it turns out he like 54.
Yeah, he was super young. when he was 17 years old. When he
guy's
started.
Been a part of my life for all those years, 30 plus years.
Yeah.
I'm looking at all his songs. You forget about some of these, like Hey Lover. That was a great song.
Yeah, Hey Lover's a great song.
But that's like an outlier at that stage of his career, I feel like.
Okay, keep going. Give me some more. Give me some
Lounging,
more.
That Lounging's was a good
too.
One.
Lounging's good too.
I don't remember that one.
I Need Love. He just played that one. Headsprung. Yeah. That was an old one. Like that was one of his newer ones.
Yeah. I mean, like some more. Give us some
I mean, Around the Way Girl is a great song.
Oh, Around the Way Girl is a great song.
Yeah.
Okay. How about something early though, Lindsay? Something real early. George said Rock the Bells.
Rock the Bells is like the original jam.
Yeah, I'm talking
I
about
Need
like,
Love was like the first one I remember.
Yeah, that's 87. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, but that's that's when LL was kind of just like that's ladies love LL. You know, that's not like old school.
He changed his like when he went with Mama Said Knock You Out is a great song. Do you know the genesis of that song?
No.
No, I don't.
The genesis of that song, like his rival coming up was Kool Moe Dee. And that song was about like whooping Kool Moe Dee.
Because his mom said knock him out?
Yeah, Mama Said Knock You Out, exactly.
Okay, got it.
And he took him out. Okay. And by the way, we still know LL. Now, no disrespect to Kool Moe Dee, but we didn't, you know, Kool Moe Dee did not survive.
No, LL won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Beyond
LL definitely won.
He knocked him out, is what he did.
Yeah, he definitely won. Yeah.
Hey, Russell Westbrook. So, speaking of knocking some out, we'd like him to knock some down. and he... He spoke to Sam Amick of The Athletic, and the headline screams on this story, I know I'm the one who's got to make the biggest sacrifice. And, you know, look, I made a pretty bold, I would say. Would you say it's a bold suggestion yesterday about sacrifice?
Bold. Yeah. Pretty fairly bold.
Come off the bench. Be the sixth man. That, to me, is the sacrifice. I feel like it would be better. I mean, we discussed it. There are lineups with him and Dwight Howard and three shooters that are very successful, and it would allow him to flourish. It would allow the team to flourish. To me, that's the biggest sacrifice he can make. If you know you got to be the one to make the biggest sacrifice, and he's obviously discussing his interaction on the floor with AD and LeBron, well, if that's the case, then that needs to be the move, in my opinion.
I feel like what we're reading here is all kind of choreographed stuff, you know, like he's been ice cold. The Kings trolled him. The you know, you turn on the radio in town, people are ripping him. The fans are all saying it was a terrible idea. I just feel like these are one of those PR moments where you talk to somebody and you say the right things, but can you actually execute on what you're saying? You know, I'm the guy that has to make the adjustment to my game to fit in with these guys to make us successful. Okay, great, great. We all agree.
By the way, the mantra early on in the season was AD and LeBron saying, no, just let Russ be Russ.
Well, now, with everything that's gone on, and as poorly as Russ has played most recently, now it's like, okay, look, I got to sacrifice. Okay, I can't be a triple-double machine every night and have us lose. I got to have fewer numbers and help us win. And I can't worry so much about what the stats say. It's kind of like when Mac Jones of the Patriots went 2-for-3 passing and the Patriots still beat the Buffalo Bills. They never threw the ball. Well, they still won the game. So Russ is saying the right stuff. I got to sacrifice. Can he do it? Will he do it? He's saying it. Can he? Will he? What do you think?
We'll see, because to me that's the ultimate sacrifice. Now I don't know what else. Lindsay, was there anything else in the story that, I mean, I glanced through it. I don't think he mentioned anything specific though, right? Like, I didn't see anything there that was specific to said sacrifice other than using the word sacrifice.
No, I mean, he said we're all trying to figure this out as a team, as a unit, to be able to say, okay, how can we figure this out? And I know I'm the one who has to make the biggest sacrifice.
Right.
He also went on to say, and I understand that. Okay, great. Great. If you have to make the sacrifice and you are aware of it and you understand it, so then you got to figure it out. Well, watch film, talk to guys, talk to coaches, sit on the bench and watch a little bit. However it is that you figure it out, figure it out.
He also added that he's not ever worried about trade rumors, which that I believe, because he's been traded before. Like, once you – like – the shock of being traded only lasts, after, I think, the first time. You know what I mean? And then you realize, I don't care who you are, that it's a business, right? Well, like, I don't think that – I think I 100% believe him when he says that.
Well, you can believe him because he probably is smart enough to know, I'm not getting traded. Ain't nobody trading for me in this $47 million a year contract. Yeah,
well, that's fair, too. But what I'm saying is that even if he, even if they, if there were suitors, he's already been traded. So, like, there's no shock to that anymore once it's happened. When you're a young player and it happens, I could see that being a bummer, you know? Like, when those young kids, the Lakers traded all those kids for Anthony Davis, like, they, you know, I could see those guys being a little shell-shocked for a while, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but in Anthony Davis, well, at least in Russell Westbrook's, you know, at least in his world right now, he knows. It would be a shock if somebody wanted to trade for me. The way I'm playing, the amount of money I make, ain't nobody trading for me. We got to figure this thing out. That's the phrase. Figure it out. It's not my phrase. It's his phrase. He got to sacrifice. And you know what's weird about that, just by the way, is that Russ is now coming to the realization halfway through the season, I have to sacrifice. And it's probably because of what you just said before, George, which is everybody was talking about AD adjusting and LeBron adjusting, when in actuality, it should never have come to this. It should have been Russ.
Should have always been Russ.
Exactly.
Well, it's what you and I talked about. Remember, I said, "Oh, he could. You know, if it work for it to work, you know, he needs to kind of play that D Wade role where, you know, remember we were talking about that at the beginning of the season. Like, you know, if he does that and just kind of sets screens and he cuts off the basket and then he has some alone time when LeBron's on the bench, right? Like, there, you know, we kind of mapped it out and none of that has come to fruition. It's been very strange. So maybe look, maybe the light bulb has gone off. I mean, I don't know. I need to see it to believe it at this stage, all right? All right, coming up next, whew, it is a volatile NFL coaching world, and the Raiders are right in the thick of it. We'll tell you why in just a moment. You are that guy, though, that needs that warning. There's no question about that.
I love Space Mountain. Space Mountain's great. I don't know why, though. Like, is it because it's dark and, like, you can't see where you're going? And you, is that why it's such a great roller coaster?
Well, as a kid, I remember being, obviously, before I had gotten on it and wrote it, I remember being a little afraid of it. But then to your point, it's so dark in there, you can't really see anything. So, you know, like, you just feel...
That's what's scary about it. It's like the anticipation of what's going to happen.
Oh, no, I would be much worse if I could see what's happening, I think.
It's the best ride.
It's a great ride. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But
even
it is,
still to this day, it's a great ride. You know, and with roller coasters now... where your feet dangle and you've got a harness over your chest and you're going upside down six times, or roller coasters that go down at a, you know, like 90 degree angle and at 200 miles an hour. Space Mountain's still a killer roller coaster.
It is. It's great. Are you a roller coaster person?
I love roller coasters. Love them. But I was one of those kids that was afraid of them, but it was Space Mountain that got me over it. Now I'll go on any roller coaster anywhere, anytime. But how about you?
Yeah, I like roller coasters. I don't get like, you know, it's weird. I get like car sick, but that's generally about it. Like, I can ride roller coasters and I don't generally get sick on them. I think it just so happens so fast that you don't really get, I mean, it's really hard to get sick. I mean, I guess it's not that hard.
I haven't been to a good roller coaster park. Knott's Berry Farms.
California Adventure.
Yeah, Magic Mountain. Yeah, California Adventure. But in Vegas, I don't know why, but every time I went to Vegas for like some kids soccer tournament, all the kids wanted to go on the New York.
The roller coaster.
That's a terrible roller coaster.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Not even.
It's tight. Yeah. You know what's got some scary roller coasters in Vegas, though, is the Stratosphere. And I don't even know if you call them roller coasters, but there's the one that like it's like
Well, they do
six
the bungee
seats.
Jumping there too, don't they?
Oh, dude, I've done that.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever done that?
No,
I haven't, but I've seen people do it. Yeah,
jump off.
I have
the
no desire to do the bungee jumping. Zero.
Oh God, it's scary. Scary. Yeah. Because not really a bungee. What it is it's more like you jump off and you actually land down below.
Right.
And they tell you before you do it. You're like, because you're up there and you're honestly wetting your pants. And you're up there and they're like, hey, just to let you know, no one has ever gotten hurt ever. You're fine.
Yeah.
And then you just got to make a decision. I'm either going for it or I'm not.
Right. And you're like, well, what if I'm that one?
Yeah. Right. Thankfully, I wasn't.
I feel like Laura is definitely a roller coaster person. Laura? Sounds like she's busy. Linz?
Yeah. I grew up where Cedar Point, like 30 minutes from Cedar Point, and that's the best amusement park in the country. I don't care what anyone says. I mean, it always
is. What part of Ohio is that in?
It's in Sandusky. It's right next to Lake Erie. It's probably like an hour east of Cleveland, and it's the best.
Yeah, that's considered, I think if you were to look on like best roller coaster parks in the country, that's considered like the top place.
Is it really? I don't know. I mean, I've only been to like California Adventure and like the
Well, you know that
Orlando.
There are people, George, who do like, you
Busch
know how people
Gardens,
sometimes
I guess, Tampa.
Yeah, but you know some people do like ballpark tours.
Yeah.
You know, do you know these people are like, "Hey,
yeah, of
I
course.
Went to 12
I have
ballparks.
Friends that do it all the time."
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, there are people that do roller coaster park tours.
Really? I didn't
know
that.
Yeah. Yeah, they go out for the summer, and they say, I'm going to Sandusky, Ohio. I'm going to suburban Pittsburgh. They got a place there called Kennywood. I'm going up to Jackson, New Jersey. They got a Great Adventure up there. Yeah, people do that.
Well, I've been to Great Adventure in New Jersey. I've been there. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I didn't know that. I mean, that's cool, I guess, if that's your jam. I mean, I like them. I don't like them that much, though. Yeah. Like a road trip. All of a
you know, growing up by Cedar Point, it made every other park I've ever gone to a complete disappointment. Even like Disney World was just like, I grew up at Cedar Point. Like there's like 30 amazing roller coasters there. So it was kind of lame.
Listen, I don't know if Disney World, if you would consider it just like a roller coaster. It's like
amusement park.
No,
definitely
amusement
right.
park. Coaster
right.
park.
Like, right. Yeah. It's more all encompassing than just roller coasters. So I think it's that. By the way, you know, I mean, at Cedar Point or whatever the hell the name of that place in Ohio is, can you drink around the world? No, you can do that at Epcot Center, though, in Orlando. I've done that. Just about, here's a word for the wise. Start in Mexico. Don't finish there.
Oh.
It's either the first one or the last one, depending on which direction you're going.
Smart move. That sounds like sound advice.
Definitely don't make it the last one.
All right. Got it.
You know, then you got the tequila. You don't want that to be the last thing out of all the pavilions that you do. But that's fun. We used to do that all the time. And then they had the Food and Wine Festival there back in the day. I used to go there back in, I don't know, 10 years ago, whatever. Do they have a Food and Wine Festival at the one here in Anaheim?
I think they do, because I think I saw a newsletter about it, actually. Like a company newsletter about it coming back soon.
Oh, there you go. Real quick, the Raiders.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, the Raider fans could be having plenty of alcohol this weekend if things go their way. But if things go their way, you know, Cap, you've mentioned this about Rich Bisaccia. If he wins this one against Cincinnati, I think he's the coach next year.
Because I think so too.
Here's my reasoning. Remember, they were 6-7. They will in essence have won 5 elimination games basically in a row at that point. And I think at that point you have to give him the job. No,
I think you do. I don't know that giving him the job, if they win a playoff game, guarantees that the Raiders are all of a sudden on their way, but it just feels right. You know, Rich Bisaccia, when he took over from John Gruden, Mike Mayock, the general manager, came out and said, he's the greatest leader of men that I've ever been around. Mm-hmm. And I went,
yeah,
well,
whatever, dude.
Well,
right.
But like Gruden was just the coach. He thought he was a better leader of men than Gruden, and he was the assistant, the special teams coordinator. But the fact of the matter is, Rich Bisaccia has proven to be as important to the Raiders this year as Derek Carr, meaning who's keeping this whole disaster together.
Right.
And Bisaccia's temperament, I think, and his long-standing status in the NFL as a really top-notch special teams coordinator help keep the Raiders together and put them where they are today. If they win, he should definitely get the opportunity.
Yeah, I think this is like, this is going to be fascinating because I think there's so many things hinging on this. Like, to your point, and again, I don't think Derek Carr has more pressure than, you know, some of the guys we mentioned earlier, but you know, it'd be great for Derek Carr, who's been a great leader this year, for Bisaccia, who's clearly also been a great leader. It would be a nice moment. Now, beyond that, you know, I don't know how far the Raiders could go, but we've talked about it. This is a winnable game. Like, look, I know Cincinnati's great, and I know it's going to be cold. I don't know how that will factor into what the Raiders like to do offensively. I really haven't thought about that, but it's going to be like under sub 30.
Well, you know Derek Carr's career record is 0-5 in games under 37 degrees.
I did not know that. No, so the freezing temperature, 37 you said, so it's 5 degrees above freezing. I don't think there's any snow in the forecast, but that it is cold, and cold affects guys differently, that's for sure.
But you know, George, if the Raiders were going to play Kansas City, and they've already destroyed the Raiders twice this year, and they're the AFC favorite, okay, no big deal. But they are, let's remember, playing Cincinnati. You know, when we talk about how the Raiders haven't been in the playoffs in a long time,
neither
Cincinnati's not exactly any good either, historically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Marvin Lewis got them there a bunch of times, but they never won anything, right?
But and he's been gone now for probably, I don't know, five, six years.
Yes. Yeah.
And by the way, even he probably had 4 or 5 years after they made the playoffs that he was still coaching the team because they were too cheap to fire him. But the point is that you're not going to play Kansas City. You know, you're not going to play the top-rated team, Tennessee. You're playing Cincinnati, and they had a nice year, and they've got a really good young quarterback, and they've got a great young wide receiver, and they got a lot of nice skill position players, but they're still the Cincinnati Bengals until they do something. So this is a winnable game for the Raiders.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I think that if they won, it would not surprise me in the least. Like, as a matter of fact, if I were looking at upsets, right, like if I had to pick upsets of underdogs to win, it would be the Niners and Raiders would be my two picks.
And most people don't even really think of the Niners as being an underdog. Now, technically, by definition, they are, obviously.
Yes.
Because that's what Vegas has them installed as a three-point underdog.
Yeah, they're a three-point dog, yeah.
But you guys, I think a lot of people expect San Francisco to win.
You guys want to hear a crazy stat about the Bengals and playoffs?
Playoffs?
That there has never in the history of the world been a text sent about the Bengals winning a playoff game. Because texting
because that's how
invented.
Long it's been, is what you're
yeah.
saying.
Yep. Yeah, isn't that crazy? I saw
how
that
long has
like,
it been?
Wow.
Has it been since like...
Since like Boomer Esiason?
Yeah, I think it's...
No way.
No, it's got to be like Carson Palmer.
Yeah, yeah. Carson Palmer. Because he got hurt in that game. That one game. That kind of... That changed their trajectory, if I recall correctly.
I think he got his knee ripped in half.
No. Hold on. Lindsey's right. They haven't won a playoff game. Lost wild card.
I think it was 1990.
Hold on. Yeah, lost division. So did they win a playoff game that year? 1990, they lost in the divisional round. So were they a wild card, though? No,
about
they
92,
were, no, because they were first in their division. So, maybe they played the wild card round. Let me look at this.
Yeah, they beat – in 1990, they beat the Oilers, the Houston Oilers in the wild card round.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, they beat the Houston Oilers. You have to go back to 1990, yes. And then they lost to the Raiders in the next round.
The Houston Oilers. I wonder
by the way, the Raiders then lost to the Bills in the AFC Championship game that year.
Huh.
I do remember that. That was was it Jay Schrader, quarterback?
Jay Schrader did go, as I recall, from Washington to the Raiders.
Yeah, to the Raiders. Yeah, Jay Schrader lost that game in Buffalo. They got crushed in Buffalo, if I recall correctly.
Wow, the Houston Oilers.
Yeah.
Warren
long
Moon,
time.
Run and shoot.
Yeah, long time. All right, we got to go. Laura's telling us we got to go. All right, coming up next, does Sean McVay's reputation depend on a Rams playoff win? There's people saying that, and it's not even Cap who's that crazy. We'll get to that next.